I think you should have no trouble spotting me. Thank you again for this warm invitation. And I want to appreciate also the time I used to spend here back in 1994, where I used to help the then Bishop John Tan to lead the services here. So that was a long, long time ago since I was last here. So thank you again for this welcome. Just to say that I'm a mental health chaplain at Anglican Care Center at Simei, and I'm also the honorary priest at St. Andrew's Community Chapel. And most of my time is spent at the psychiatric rehabilitative environment, where I work together with a big team of specialists and working alongside them to help our clients recover. So I would use clinical skills, counseling skills, pastoral skills, Christian theology to help clients find meaning in their suffering. Because many a times what they suffer cannot be avoided. They have to go through it. And the only way suggested to them is for them to find meaning in the midst of their suffering. And as I continue to do on my knees, my reading, on my prayers, and my interaction on a regular basis with the clients and patients there. Recently, I read a report again in the Straits Times, dated in 2060, 6th of November, about a survey of 1,000 Singaporeans. And the report found that 8 in 10 Singaporeans are worried about growing old. And topping their worries is whether they will be able to look after themselves. And financial concerns, such as running out of savings, comes next. And this is indeed a complex issue with many causes, consequences, and solutions. However, one factor is quite clear, and that is the mental state of the elderly. And just recently, the beginning of this year, in April, the China New Asia, News Asia, also tells of a real-life example of depression being a battleground that many seniors fight and struggle, normally spill over to the rest of their family. And research also bears that out quite well, that one in every five elderly persons in Singapore, aged 75 and above, also shows signs of depression. And there are many factors that can contribute to depression and give rise to sad, low feeling of disappointment and depression. Things like health issues, limited mobility, senile dementia, as well as loneliness and financial anxieties. And despite knowing these factors, it's also known that many elderly are undiagnosed, as depression is generally seen as a taboo subject in our largely Asian population. But that's only one side of the coin. There are many, many other vital roles that we can play in the life of our elderly. And the church is one such important role she plays. And I want to talk about four C's relating pastoral care of the church to people who suffer from mental distresses, whether the elderly or whether the caregivers. Firstly, the crisis in pastoral care to mental health or to those who are mentally unwell. I think we know that already in the newspapers, we have heard it read to us, we have heard it repeated to us, and we can also feel it that Singapore has one of the highest aging population and it tends to get more and more in the years to come. And the consequences of depression naturally increases. And they are felt not only by the elderly, as I mentioned, but also by their loved ones, their caregivers. I have a mother who is in her early 80s and also suffered depression for a period of time. And it was very challenging for her as well as those of us who looked after her. And this is a true example of a 61-year-old person called Madam Low, who quit her job as a kitchen assistant in 2016 to be her mother's main carer. And these are some of the key words she said in the report. She said she felt so helpless. She felt, I didn't even know how to comfort her. And words like, my heart was aching. And there, she had to go through her mom's full schedule of checkups. And when coping became impossible, she employed a domestic helper, but that did not actually make her job any easier, because the mother was unhappy with the help. And therefore, round and round she went, it was very exhausting for her. But nevertheless, she knows she must be positive and tries her best, because her role is vital in the care and well-being of her aging mother, so that somehow, through her positivity, she could get her mother back to her usual self. It was a tedious process, a demanding one, but help is at hand. And Madam Low knew that she had to be positive and try her level best. And one of the ways we can learn from her is to focus constantly on what we do have rather than what we do not have. And Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12, tell us a bit about the awareness. As Christians, we are told, where can we go from God's Spirit? Where do we flee? Wherever you go, wherever you are, God is there. And the psalmist went on to describe, if I were to go to the highest point or the lowest point of the earth, God is there. Even I attempt to fly away and live in the farthest flung of the ocean or the globe or the universe, God's hand shall lead you. Darkness to us is depressing, but to God, darkness is just as light, because darkness is not dark at all to God. The passage, Matthew 11, also encourages us that those of us who labor, who are heavy laden, who found life difficult, challenging, and at the point of giving up, Jesus promises that he will give us rest. Rather than bearing the weight on our shoulders or alone on ourselves or by ourselves, Jesus invites us to take on his yoke and learn from him. There are lessons to be learned as we carry the weight of caring for those whom we love. There are many precious lessons, and suffering is one such lesson we learn more about ourselves and as well as the person we're seeking to help. I work long enough with mental distress people who suffer from moderate to severe psychological distresses, and some of them with personality disorders. And one of the constant issues we face, we meaning my co-counselors and team members, and they recognize is this: they refuse to face their own demons. I do not mean they need to be deliverance. I don't mean that. I mean a lot of struggles they have, a lot of internal conflict they are experiencing. And one of the reasons why they could not move forward is because they are not able to face their own pain and their own struggle. And I must admit, it's very tough to face one's own demons, so to speak, because it's very painful to face it ourselves. And that's why we are there. The counselors, myself as a chaplain, are there to support them, to help them, pacing with them, and help them to recover. And that is the same for all of us who cares for those whom we love. Even those of us who receive care, it's very painful. We have such mobility for so many years, And now, quite suddenly for some of us, we are limited so severely and so dependent on those around us. And increasingly, we feel less and less useful. And depression sets in very quickly when we keep on dwelling in those things. But Jesus promises that he will teach us better ways, good ways for us to handle our stress and burdens. And Jesus ends by saying that we will find rest for our souls. A ha moment, a moment of relief and rest in the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the crisis that the church has to measure up to. Secondly, the charge of church giving to mental health. And there's a passage that Romans tell us about, that our flesh is always the one tripping us over and over again. I mentioned just now about the conflict that we encounter. And sometimes this conflict that we experience is between the desires of the flesh, the devices of the flesh, found in the Book of Common Prayer, versus the desires of the Holy Spirit for us. And we always live in this tension between what my flesh wants and what the Spirit of God desires for me. And there's this real entanglement, this real tension, this internal conflict that we experience. And time again, we are encouraged by Paul in his words to educate our passion, to teach our fleshly desire the ways of God. And that takes time, that takes pain, that takes deep understanding and support, especially from those who care for us. We need to be patient with those who seem to be very difficult. We need to take time to talk to them, to answer them, to listen to them attentively before we jump the gun, before we make comments and make statements that we later regret. Even if we do regret, we learn from those regrets and we learn how to educate our devices and desires of the human flesh. Because it's very natural for us as human beings, as we are, we tend to fight back, tend to retaliate, tend to be angry, scream and shout and do all kinds of things. It's an expression of, I can't handle it. This thing is getting out of control. I can't take it anymore. It's the kind of inner crying out of desperation for help and security and a sense of safety. And yet it is through such moments or periods of struggles that we learn to understand the ways of God, that we need to listen to the work of the Spirit in our lives and to repent and to incline our hearts to keep God's law, so that what is natural to us, getting angry, getting upset, a tit for tat, sharp tongue, anger, and whatever negative flesh that we exhibit or demonstrate at home when we are triggered, is once again to learn the ways of God. And the Bible has full of such description of how we can do that. Put it another way, when God saves us, God does not absolve or exonerate us from our moral sensitivity and efforts. As believers, we continue to have this obligation not to live by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Thirdly, besides the crisis, besides the charge of the church, thirdly is the capacity building of the church. How ready is the church to help those who are mentally distressed? We know quite well from statistics, the gap is very large in Singapore, especially in our society. As I mentioned earlier, we stigmatize mental illness, or we just do not know what to do when we see one. And so the church has some basic responsibility to guide our members, especially with the aging population, not only affecting people out there, but also among us. We have parents who have yet to know the Lord. We have parents who are aging. Even we ourselves are aging. And we want to be supported, to be understood by people with whom we worship, weekly, or we see each other in cell ministries or events of the church. And it's a place of healing for us, a place of health for us. And that means there must be wholeness, a sense of empowerment, a sense of justice, a sense of caring. And wholeness means a much broader view of health, including not just the physical and the mental, but also the spiritual. Prayer becomes more and more important for those who are elderly, because time is in their hands, and they're limited so much by their own physical mobility. And this could well be the way in God's sovereignty to enable us to be more prayerful and engage with Him in the deeper recesses of our hearts. And that is actually a form of healing, a form of restoration to the desires and designs of God. Secondly, empowerment. We need to strengthen our integrity and self-respect as we age. The restoration of human dignity is very important for those who suffer in various ways, and they are empowered to set directions for themselves. We don't tell our parents what to do. We ask them what they would like to do. How would they like to live their life? Despite their limitation, what could they want to do? And what we can provide extra support to take them to where they want to go and to give them joy and happiness, so that they still have some level of a sense of empowerment to decide for themselves how they want to live their lives. And of course, not forgetting justice and equity. In the Old Testament, the prophet often cries out about oppression and exploitation of the poor, the weak, the widows, the elderly. And Jesus constantly also quotes from the Old Testament about how we need to liberate people who are oppressed, who are saddened, who are blind, who are poor, who are held captive. And finally, caring. The fellowship of believers here as we sit and listen to God's word should be a caring and healing community. It's a manifestation and demonstration of the love of Christ, that we're constantly renewing each other, restoring each other through forgiveness that's made possible through the living encounter with Christ. Christ himself showed compassion and concern for his people, reaching out to them in their pain, sorrow, and suffering. And this capacity building is important for us to learn skills, not just to manipulate the situation, and that should never be the case. It's always to learn skills so that we are authentic with ourselves, and that we're able to express how we feel to our parents, to our elderly people, so that we do not disconnect with what we are feeling. If I'm angry and upset, I should find a way to tell people whom I love and care that I'm actually upset about certain decisions that has been made. And there are many ways that we can do that. And one form of that is actually to learn to build our capacity to communicate in a better way. And I pray that there will be opportunity for you to do that and to translate what you have learned into actual practice. And finally, the campaign of church. And I think the church continues to be very important. I myself have had to work with certain organizations, and the church is usually seen as the bridge builder between the institutionalized care and society. People who have been in mental health facilities for a period of time, moving on to work in society, people who were prisoners before, moving from there into society, they find no in-between. They find it very difficult. And the society, by and large, see religious bodies, especially churches, as a good go-between. And I think we are not wrong, and they are not wrong indeed. Where I work, because being an honorary priest, clients and patients and members of my care center do go over to the church to worship. And there is about a dozen of them, 12, 13 of them, who go over and worship with the members of the church. And to me, it's a very delightful thing to see, and allowing them to interact as normally as is possible with the members who were there. And they have to learn skills of how to engage them, how to talk to them, how to express their feelings of concern for them. So the church do have some things that they can do as a way of campaigning, if you like, for the mental health. First of all, very clearly, is to create a welcoming environment for everyone so that they too have a sense of belonging and that can be developed. Raising mental health awareness and capacity building, I mentioned earlier just now. Challenging stigma of mental health problems. Increasing understanding between spirituality and mental well-being and the role of the church in mental health promotion. How does believing in Christ alleviate your depression? Some of the things that we can do and learn. Learn how to detect depression in the elderly. And that early detection is always a sure way of reducing the chances of any serious meltdown. Of course, strengthening family life, another crucial point in our life, because giving care to other people can cause a tremendous stress and strain on the family. Offering pastoral care for people with severe and enduring mental health issues. And of course, developing support for carers. And all in all, we know that all these that I've just mentioned will not come easy. However, as Christians, we have to remember what Paul said in Romans and elsewhere, that we have an obligation to put to death the deeds of the flesh by reallocating our passion with the Word of God. We naturally will not be drawn to people who are suffering from mental distresses. It's just not the way we do things. And yet that's precisely where we should allocate our flesh into the ways of God, because God's heart is very open to people who are suffering, who are in pain. And we as his followers, we should be no less different than them. So may God help us as we spend this time reflecting on mental health in this church, and may God help us to learn something, as I've shared, of the crisis, I share of the charge of the church, I share of the capacity building of the church, and the campaigning for more awareness and resources. Let us pray. God, you are our light, you are our salvation. May you illuminate our lives, that we may see your goodness in the land that we are in, that we also, looking on your beauty, may be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.